I hope I never go to hell if it's this hot. Inmate Charles Oliver, 4H, April 21, 1930. My God, what is going to happen next? Warden Preston Thomas, April 21, 1930. Sundown on Easter Monday, 1930. The nightly lockup at the Ohio State Penitentiary had just ended. Although it was April 21, it was unseasonably cold outside, and within the forbidding 30-foot walls of the aging and overcrowded Ohio State Penitentiary, it probably wasn't much warmer. Located less than a mile from the Columbus State Capitol complex, the gray edifice was the most crowded big house in America, bulging at the seams with triple the capacity it was designed for. While there has always been some debate over the exact time the fire broke out, all agreed that it occurred sometime after the second dinner shift, which began at 4:20. Given barely 20 minutes to consume their prison victuals, the 800 inmates assigned to the aging G&H cell blocks were marched back to their cells and methodically locked up for the night, four to a cell, each cell locked separately. This was rarely accomplished before 4:45. It was then customary for a cell block officer to telephone the stockade to affirm that the night count was spot on, that is, that the same number that left their cells for dinner had been counted on their return. None of the inmates in the G&H blocks could have predicted, as they contemplated their well-practiced routine of winding down for the long night ahead, that by 8 p.m., more than one-third of them would be dead. Whiling away their last hours, some read or wrote letters, others played chess and checkers, and others surely dwelled on upcoming court cases and parole dates. Although estimates as to the exact time the fire began vary by only several minutes, those minutes were enough time to mean the difference between life and death. Some convicts testified smelling smoke in the cell block as early as 5 p.m. However, most accounts suggest that the fire became obvious sometime after 5:20 p.m. Inmate trustee Liston G. Shuley was covering Deputy Warden James C. Woodard's office by himself, just east of G&H, some 500 to 750 feet across the prison yard, when he first noticed smoke at 5:20 coming from the direction of the New Hall cell house. He had just returned from the last dinner shift and was getting ready to sit down and read a newspaper when he looked west and saw smoke emitting from the roof or the upper windows of the cell block, but partly hidden from view behind the chapel. Shuley would later recount that at virtually the same time he spotted the fire from the office window, an inmate nurse was exercising, walking back and forth on the walkway in front of the deputy warden's office. He turned and caught Shuley's attention at the window and yelled, "The G&H cell block is on fire!" In his testimony before the fire inquiry, convened the day after the fire, Shuley noted that he called the central station in the guard room and alerted the operator, a friend of his, who responded, "I know it. I got it." Shuley told the operator to notify the fire department. Later, he expressed certainty that this had been done in a most efficient manner. Predicting they would be needed elsewhere, Shuley went out on the front steps of the deputy's office and told the exercising nurses to go to the hospital at once. By this time, the yard was filling up with smoke, and he found breathing already rather difficult. Inside the cell house building itself, survivors would mostly agree that someone screamed, "Fire!" around 5:21 p.m., but certainly no later than 5:35. Many sources asserted that if it had been anyone else but the convict prankster Barry Schulke, who first raised the hue and cry inside the G&H blocks at 5:20, things might have turned out differently.